You may be providing enormous value to your clients, but if they don't see it or they don't understand it, or maybe if you don't remind them of it, that could result in them leaving you. And that happened to me recently. And then a client came crawling back asking for secrets. I think this is going to be a big potential problem for service providers as more and more services are replaced for AI or lower cost labor. People just think they can be replaced. And so they take that route. In this case, the fact that they even had the audacity to ask me made me realize that maybe I could share some of the blame here and I hadn't fully communicated the value that I was providing them. But sometimes you just don't know what you got till it's gone. They didn't realize and they couldn't have until we weren't working together anymore. And I want to share this story with you today along with the lessons that I learned so that you don't make the same mistakes. And as of today, you'll be able to start taking steps around how to show clients the enormous value you provide in order to keep them around. This episode is brought to you by SureTake. I created SureTake because after nearly a decade in the podcast editing business, I saw what podcasters and studios really needed. I've seen the tragedy of lost recordings, frustrated users of unreliable platforms, and I've learned how to streamline our workflow to make the podcasting process seamless and efficient for our clients. With all that in mind, the purpose behind SureTake is simple, reliable recording. No paying for features you don't need, no lost recordings, and a great human support team who will reply in minutes if you have a question. Record an episode on SureTake today for free, no credit card required, so there's no risk in giving it a try. Visit suretake.io. That is suretake.io. You'll find the link in the show notes. I'm Joel Oliver. I've spent the last decade helping podcasters with 6- and 7-figure businesses use their podcasts to grow their business and generate more revenue. This is Profits Through Podcasting. So I had a longtime client who I think we had a really good working relationship. I honestly was very, very grateful to have her for all those years. Really enjoyed working with her. We were aligned on a lot of things. It was just great. Anyway, due to some changes on her side, I wasn't fully surprised recently when the relationship came to an end. And it was maybe 5 or 6 years. It was a long time in this industry, okay? So they were making some changes on their end as I expected, completely out of our hands. They're moving some things in-house. No ill will from either side. Total respect. It's all fine. That's the backstory there. Sometimes these things do happen because of money, so you can keep that in mind for this episode. Sometimes it is a case of cost reduction and they don't see your value and they're just trying to cut costs. In this case, it wasn't really that. It was the angle of just, you know, bringing it in-house made more sense to them. So it's a quick, smooth transition out. All good. Clearly, they had been preparing for this in the background. At least that was my impression. And they were ready to drop us. So we wrapped up. All good. Tied up a couple loose ends. And it's done. Maybe a month goes by. And I get an email, not from the client, but from her assistant type person or their team, basically saying, we can't figure out how to get the podcast to sound as good as you had it. Would you mind telling us all the settings that you use so we can get it to sound the same? It's like asking a chef his personal recipes. It's IP, intellectual property, trade secrets. When you hire a service provider, you are paying for the result. You are not entitled to how they did it or anything of that nature so you can go and copy it for yourself. Unless they've explicitly agreed to train you on something and tell you something, you know, show you their methods, you're just paying for the delivery and that is it. Okay, I want to share this story. You probably heard it before, but as it goes, a large ship's engine suddenly breaks down while at sea. The captain calls in a specialist plumber and engineer to fix it. I actually have this written down because I always butcher this story when I'm trying to recall it from memory. But okay, so the captain calls in this really specialized plumber engineer to come fix the engine. Expert arrives. He takes a look at this big engine for a few minutes, pulls out a little hammer, and he gives one precise tap on a specific spot. The engine roars back to life. Captain is impressed, but shocked when he gets the bill because the bill's for $10,000. And he says, $10,000? You were here for 10 minutes. You did one little thing. You know, you barely did anything. So the plumber engineer revises his invoice, sends it back. And now the invoice says, tapping with hammer, $2. Knowing where to tap, $9,998. So that sums up what I'm talking about here. It's not just the doing it. okay? It's the years of knowledge, the skill, the experience, the life's work behind whatever your craft is, okay? So this is going to apply to you in whatever it is for you, you know, if it's a service or the product that you've created. But there is also the other side to consider here as business owners, because we need to be mindful of this in terms of how we work with people, you know, and the companies or the people that provide services to us, when we might think that we can ditch them and just do it all on our own. So I'm going to cover both sides in this episode because I think they're both very important to us as entrepreneurs. So to give a little context for me, I've spent my entire life interested in audio. Literally from the moment I was able to put a CD in a CD player, you know, I was doing that. I had my own DJ and audio visual company beginning in junior high school with my friend. My parents ultimately helped me move to Ontario for a year when I was 19 to do audio engineering school there. It was a private audio engineering school, one of the best in the country. Yeah, I know. So that's just the beginning, but that's just the start. You gain experience through a school like that to then go out in the world and really start learning. So I eventually make my way through college radio, broadcasting, freelancing, starting this business officially. I didn't know how to start a business. Years and years of learning and tweaking and testing and trying different things and, you know, experience with literally not even thousands, but tens of thousands of podcast episodes at this point. That's what I've lived through and developed my craft around. So that all is what helped me be able to now dial in what takes me very little time. You know, I have a lot of my stuff set up in my software, so I know exactly what I like, what works. That doesn't take me a whole lot of time. But that is my tapping with the hammer. So for someone to replace me with an individual that I assumed was competent, you know, if someone's getting rid of you, you assume they have a competent team lined up. Quite frankly, it was insulting to me to get that message. And I would expect the same for you, you know? Oh, we're going to get rid of you, but we got everything under control here. And then this, basically, I don't want to pay you anymore, but I want what you provided. I want the results you provided. Would you just mind sharing all of that with me over an email? Great. Yeah. And I assume that your life's work as well, whatever it is, again, I assume that your life's work is something that's not just shareable by an email as well. And you should also be insulted to be approached with that kind of inquiry. Could I just get everything that you know for no cost? Everything that you've worked your entire life for? No, it doesn't work that way. So the first set of lessons here is for this service provider you, or the business, the product you, whatever it is that you develop, whatever value you provide to people and they pay you money for. I want to talk about that side of things. You know, the you who maybe doubts their value sometimes, or is afraid you're going to be replaced, and maybe at times you get replaced. You know, the world's changing a lot right now when it comes to technology and all this stuff. Or the you that is nervous about charging what you're worth and demanding the price that you're actually worth, you know? The fact that you're already providing value, that should be a given. Like, yes, you are providing value, but ensuring clients are aware of it, I realize now, is a very big part of that, and we really need to reflect on here. Like I said in the beginning, maybe there is nothing I could do. This is one of those situations where they just had to hear the work of their new person and go, what the hell? Like, something doesn't sound as good as it used to. Like, what's that about? You know, they couldn't really have known that. I assume they did their research and tried to hire someone competent, but maybe there wasn't a whole lot I could do, but maybe there was. I don't know what happened with this client, but I had to assume after they started publishing new episodes that I hadn't worked on, they had that moment of saying, this is not right. This sounds bad, or it's low, or the levels are all over the place. And that, you know, which is honestly really sad. Because like I said, I really enjoy working with this client. I was really rooting for them. I really liked it. And I took pride in making sure that the product we put out there was of high quality. And I think that's what kept us in that business relationship for all these years. But to then see it kind of unravel and go to this was sad. Because actually from working with this person, I knew they did really value quality. And that's another reason they were a client of ours. They value quality. They didn't mind paying for it. Now they set up this big thing for them to migrate away from us. And the first thing that goes out is basically crap. So I was shocked in this case to realize that the work had gone to someone who didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know what they were doing. That's who I was replaced with. Someone who just has no idea about anything. Not even a person who would say, you know, to the person that emailed me, I'll try to reverse engineer this. I hear a couple things. Let me try to figure out. And, you know, I know based on my background how to use some tools and we can get it close to what Joel had been doing. You know, they didn't have that even to say, don't email him. They just said, literally go ask Joel what he was doing. And so I don't know. I don't know how that happens, but clearly the client didn't even consider that this could be an issue until it was too late. And hey, I'm welcome. The door is always open, you know, for me, but, yeah, maybe could I have approached that conversation and said, listen, it's possible your team doesn't know what they're doing. No, I would never have brought that up. Like I said, I just assume everything's fine. So maybe some of it's unavoidable, but lesson learned the hard way there for everybody, I suppose. And I did actually, curiosity got the better of me. I had to go back and check one of the new episodes that wasn't completed by us and hear, you know, what was the big deal that the client heard or what brought up this conversation. And it was quite sad. It was honestly, yeah, insulting that this is who replaced us. Someone who clearly has no idea what they're doing, so much so that they would, again, be okay with an email being sent to me asking me literally, what did I do to it? If you end up in the role where you are getting money to edit someone's podcast and you don't know anything about how to fix this issue, how does that happen? I just don't understand. So yeah, it's insulting to me. But anyway, what I saw was complete trash. So anyway, I'm going to try to do a better job of making our clients aware or, you know, anyone who's not a client even, of the value you may be getting out of a competent service provider before you think to just throw that all away and someone cheaper can do it or AI or whatever. But anyway, we'll get to that. I want to tell you another quick story here as well. We had another client, this was quite a while ago now, fade away. It was like a legacy, low budget, older client, not older in age, but just we had been with them for a long time. I noticed they hadn't ordered in a while, went and took a look and their podcast had been publishing new episodes. So I reached out to them and said, just wondering what happened. You know, we have this long-term relationship going on with work and all of a sudden I don't hear from them and they're doing their own episodes. What happened? They said, oh, our assistant is doing all that now. Yeah, or just our, you know, virtual assistant, whatever. She took it over. Okay. In the same email, that person, it was actually the assistant that was in on the thread, the same person says, by the way, we're getting some errors when we do the upload and I can't figure it out. Do you know why? And I didn't even respond to that email. I just thought this is not happening. They did not just ask that. And they actually followed up again several days later and they still didn't get the hint. They followed up with the same question. You lost the privilege of asking me questions when you stopped working with me. What do you think I'm doing here? Just sitting around like a helpline for podcasters that aren't paying me? And okay, fair enough. That might sound harsh. Maybe I sound like a jerk for saying that. But yeah, in that situation, if someone's been a client of yours over the years and they paid you, unless you had some specific agreement in place to teach them something, I don't think you owe them anything. I really don't. You know, business is transactional. Now, if this is a connection that you want to keep or you need to keep your word on something that you told to them, totally fine. That's totally cool. Whatever is comfortable for you. You know, if they're not asking your trade secrets, that's cool. But if it is transactional, which, you know, in most cases it is, when they hire you, you provide that service, nothing really outside of that, and then they ditch you, like we're never working with you again, and they feel that they're entitled to advice. Absolutely not. This is on them. They made the decision. They thought they could do it on their own for less money, for not paying you, and now they want your assistance? No way. And this is not a case of like locking them out of an account or something like that, which I would never do. This is just like a troubleshooting thing. It's one of the many skills that I've developed over the years, and I am happy to provide to active customers. Anybody that works with us actively, whatever question they have, even if it's kind of outside of my scope, I will always do my best to help them. Even if it's not something I provide, I'll say, well, here, you can go check this out. I know this person. Whatever I can do, more than happy to help. But if they literally cease to do business with you, goodbye. We're done. I don't want to pay you anymore. I think your value is worthless to me. I have a better option. Oh, but by the way, could you help me with this for free? No, no, no friggin' way. Okay. And this is how you build a moat around your business with skills and knowledge, quality service that only you can provide. The thing is that the clients have to see the value in it. And these couple of examples that I just gave, they didn't know till it was too late. And, you know, even still, they didn't come back to me. They just continued to float around, not knowing what they're doing, putting out bad quality stuff, whatever. So you got to make them aware, okay? But if they choose to no longer do business with you and their alternative solution didn't work out, that's not your problem to solve, okay? Don't feel bad about that. That's their decision. They're welcome to come back and work with you just like before. And, you know, in my case, I'd be more than happy to take care of that issue, make sure all their stuff is sounding great. Once again, no harm done, right? But your unique methods and your skills, that is how you stay profitable instead of becoming a commodity, you know, and competing on price, a race to the bottom. So that was a couple of stories on business owners who ran into problems after they cost-cutted or changed providers or whatever. What I want to get into next is the other side of this, which is you not making this kind of mistake as a business owner who contracts these other services. Like, how do we as business owners ensure that we don't accidentally overlook something, switch how we're doing it, and end up with some kind of junk that's then having a negative effect on the business? You know, the podcast sounds bad and now people stop listening and we don't know why, that sort of thing. Because I think this is going to be a big realization for people as they start, or continue to rather, delegate more to AI, delegate more to lower paid people, because, you know, the AI doesn't necessarily do it all on its own, but now they might be able to have a $5 an hour VA run the AI instead of a $50 an hour podcast editor. But they might not be aware of the ramifications of some of these decisions that they're making. So we need to think about it from this angle too, as business owners. As well, I'm not here to say that AI is bad. I think it's cool. I'm sure it will get better, but it's not quite there yet. And if you don't fundamentally understand what you're doing with AI or with your assistant or whoever, the results are going to be inferior. Like, if you don't know what good sound is supposed to sound like, how can you know that your AI or your assistant is doing it properly? And that ties back to what I was saying earlier. Like, that's part of what you pay a competent person for, is for their experience to know, this sounds good. This is going to work on all types of devices, headphones, cars, whatever. Levels are balanced. Stuff that AI wouldn't necessarily fix and you may not even be aware of, that's what you're paying for. So same goes, we could apply this to, say, graphic design or website design. What's a good website supposed to look like? I don't really know. Or effective copywriting. How do you write good copy? If the answer again is, I don't really know, how can you tell your assistant or the AI to improve it? Like, if you try to write stuff in AI even these days, from what I've seen even recently, its writing is just not, it's not on par with what I would write. It's not in my style. It's just not right. So if I didn't have the skill to understand good copy or good writing, how could I get anything out that's good? It's going to be junk. It's just going to be, you know, whatever the AI spits out, it's done. And then all of a sudden, no one's resonating with your copy anymore or your emails. You didn't even notice, right? You end up with something lower quality. People stop listening to, stop paying attention to. Your clips on social media are junk. They don't hook because AI made them. And everything just falls apart. You know, bad audio quality is literally the number one voted reason on why people tune out of podcast episodes. So now this client of mine, who I know values quality, has been paying us well for years to make sure they have a quality product, it's crap now. It's just junk. Overnight, it sucks. And the number one reason for people stopping listening to podcasts is bad audio. And what does this podcast now have? Bad audio. All the effort that this person put into building this up and growing a following, growing an audience, It's just gonna disappear. It's like a bucket with a hole in it, you know? And then she's gonna be left wondering and then having lost all that value and all that work she put in because she thought, we'll bring it in-house. We'll do a better job. But anyway, back to what we were saying. I don't think the studio model is going away. I don't think the service provider model is going away for various services, various things, you know, whatever it is that you do. We are seeing changes, of course, but as the world becomes increasingly saturated with this low-quality AI junk, you're going to need to cut through. And that's going to be by creating quality content that stands out. And if you think that cheaping out and using AI to do all this junk is the way to win in that kind of market, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yes, you can improve your workflow and make things more efficient, but there's going to come a point when it just goes too far. You know, you're going to go down with the ship. Because nobody's going to care about what you're doing because it all looks the same. It all looks AI generated. it all sounds the same, the text, whatever, you know, your episodes sound bad, whatever it is, you're just going to be in that sea of junk, and it's going to be, you know, self-inflicted as a business owner if we take what, you know, if we do what I'm warning you against here today. So the point is that sometimes the seemingly more expensive option is actually better because the alternative is failure. Like I just said about this client, you know, would it have been worth just continuing to pay us to keep that quality level up and grow the audience versus now having this bad audio quality, which is going to decimate the audience, and then it just all disappears. And well, we saved a bit of money, or we had it in house. Okay, that's one way to decide. That's one option. You know, there's a balance of quality versus cost. So that's this side of things that I want you to keep in mind as a business owner, as you look at the new technology available and new options and workflows. Keep that in mind, that you're not just destroying everything you've built in the interest of shiny object syndrome and AI, and this is the way to do it now. And you can tell I'm passionate about this because, yeah, like everyone's industry is being affected, including ours, heavily. And I just saw another client recently who hadn't worked with us in a while, so I thought, let me just go see if they're inactive. You know, sometimes we'll ping them and remind them, and they'll start podcasting again. So I go check their episodes. Yep, they have been posting. It sounds horrible. The music literally just cuts off. Like the music is playing and then it just stops. And you know, they don't care. They don't know. They don't even listen to their own stuff, that whatever their assistant made. I don't know. Like, all the best to these people if that's the quality they accept. They're not even in the same league as us in terms of the quality and value we want to provide with clients. Like, if someone finds that acceptable, then no, you shouldn't work with us, because you obviously aren't going to value what we do. There are some people out there you're just not going to be able to prove value to, but that's fine. You want to be there for the ones that do value your service, and make sure that those people are aware of it, and make sure that you're delivering to them and actually providing them something over working with an AI or an assistant or whatever, okay? So the key takeaway today is to not be like that client that I started out the show with, okay? Whether you're thinking about changing things up by saving money, bringing it in-house, using an assistant, something AI, understand exactly what it is that you have and what you are losing. Don't just assume that because an AI says it can edit your podcast that you're literally getting the same thing that your production studio has been doing for you. And maybe the AI can do a fine job and it's acceptable for you, maybe. But at least understand it. Don't just go in blindly, you know, breaking apart everything that you've built in the business and changing things up for the sake of whatever cost savings or efficiency, and then you end up with junk, okay? So that's the one side. And then the other side is, if you are some kind of service provider, entrepreneur, which I assume you are, you know, protect your methods, protect whatever it is that you have. That is literally your business. That is your moat. And then be sure that you are showing that value both to potential clients and the existing ones that you have. Now, if you value quality and you want to level up, you don't want to regress, you want to make things better and stand out in the sea of AI slop that's out there, book a podcast opportunity call with me. We're going to go over everything, look at where there might be holes in your growth, whether that is the audio quality of your podcast or the messaging on your website. We'll look at everything. It's a no-pressure call. From there, we can see if maybe we're able to work together on important things like strategy, growth, up-leveling your production, and ultimately generating more clients and revenue for you and your business through podcasting. If that sounds useful to you, head to the link in the show notes. Thanks for your time on this one, and we'll catch you again next time.